And welcome back to the Parish of the Patriots, installment number 354. I'm recording this show on the weekend prior to it airing. But when this show airs on Tuesday, we'll be a couple days away from Christmas for the Christian believers. It's a high holiday. I'm going to do something a little different for today's show. We're not going to do the Christian specific segment the way we normally do. I'm going to mishmash it kind of all together and just because it's going to be the Christmas show. We're a couple days away. We're going to make this a Christmas edition of the Parish of the Patriots. But don't worry. There'll be something in here for everybody, probably. But we're going to, like I say, I'm not going to do a separate Christian-specific segment. We're just going to have a Christmas, kind of a Christmassy-themed thing. And no, there will be no Santa Claus. Santa Claus is coming to town. Not that there's anything wrong with your kids having some fun with the whole, you know, Christmas presents. We'll get into all of that. But it is a religious holiday for the Christian religious, one of our high holidays. If you do get something out of the show, and you know, as I always say this every week, I got snail mail. That's it. The crypto addresses you see on these pages, those are Sven's. I have nothing to do with that. No access to that. I don't get any of that. It's all well and good. That's for him though. Don't be confused. I got the snail mail. The address is right here on the page for the Parish of the Patriots show, the description page. That's it. Letter in the mail. There is no other alternative. If you get something out of it, drop something in there, it is appreciated. It's up to you. Obviously, there's nothing here behind a paywall. So you get it for free, regardless. It's up to you and your charity, if you so wish. If you feel compelled to put something in there. If you don't, I'm going to keep doing the show for as long as I can. But if you feel you really got something out of it and you appreciate it, you can drop something in there. And, like I say, on my app, it's always well appreciated. We'll look at our listener supporter mailbag. We got one entry this week. GPD, dear GPD, wishing you and the family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year's. Thanks for all your good works. Great to hear you, Sven, and Dr. Johnson back together. That's from Nick. Appreciate it, Nick. And it is, I was just, like I said, I'm recording this on Saturday. And of course, Sven and I did our show on this past Friday. And it is, it's something to get back in. And we were back in this thing of, you know, I sit down and record with Sven on Fridays. We were talking, we may do like, I don't know, either a year wrap up or a coming year show. Maybe we'll do another round table with Sven and Matt and myself. I'm always game. You know, and those shows where we all get together, I have a lot of fun. You know, it just gives us something else to do. So I'm hoping we'll get to do that quite a bit more. Sven is, was just jumping right back, you know, just jumping right back in the middle of it and getting things going. The site's already way better than it was in his absence, which is to be expected. And it is, it's really great. It's great to have him back and it frees the rest of us up to, you know, try to do a little, focus a little more on our kind of core projects. I'm able to focus on this show a bit more because I'm not having to do some of the other stuff, trying to keep Radio Isle being up and going and whatnot. That does wrap up unwrapping the gifts under our tree. It is Christmas. And that means a lot of things. Now, obviously, it is a religious holiday. And I find it interesting how much they try to cancel it out. You know, this is one of the things I think that has made people so cynical when it comes to Christmas. When I hear people say, I hate this time of the year, I hate Christmas. I think one of the things about that, they don't hate Christmas. They hate what has been done to it. And in that regards, I agree. You know, if I go somewhere, like when I have to go into a place, and they're blaring this horrible Christmas music. I hate that. And I'll tell people, I'm reminded this time of the year how much I hate Christmas music. And that in and of itself isn't actually true. Like the old songs, like, you know, the First Noel and things such as that. I really love those. It's this, you know, Santa Claus, Jingle Bell, rock around the Christmas tree, horseshit that I can't, that's what I can't stand. You know, it's just, I can't stand it. And of course they blare it around. Even people, a lot of people will complain, you know, they say Christmas has become commercialized. And this is true too. But what they miss is it's been subverted. You ever notice that no other religion's holidays have to be inclusive? You know, this was their excuse. You know, it had to be subverted to be more inclusive. It rings. It has an echo to it, doesn't it? Because they do the same thing in the churches itself. We've got to be more inclusive. We got to make people feel welcome here. And so it winds up subverted. The holiday itself has become subverted. You're not supposed to say Merry Christmas or mention Jesus. Somebody might feel excluded. Say Happy Holidays. Nobody else has to do that. You know? I mean, what the hell is all that menorah lighting nonsense about? I don't feel included in that. They need to make that more inclusive. So someone like me can go participate in the menorah lighting or you know, feel included in that. That's not required. Only ours has to be inclusive. Turning it into materialism. The materialism. I tell everybody every year. I do. I tell everybody every year when this time of the year comes around, people start in about, you know, buying presents. And you know, people will ask me, hey, what are you wanting for Christmas? I always find this weird, and I'm the weird one out, I guess. What do you want for Christmas, man? What are you hoping to get for Christmas? And I tell everybody the same thing. Don't buy me nothing for Christmas because I ain't getting you nothing. It is not because I don't have a charitable bone in my body. I always tell people, I'm a grown-ass man. I buy my own. If I need something, I buy it myself. You know, I don't sit around. I remember when I was a kid, because the gift giving when you're a kid, a big thing, you know, I mean, you hoping to get something. But when I was a kid, and like I say, if you're my age, it's probably this way for you too. Oh, growing up, you had two times a year you're going to get something. Christmas and your birthday. Those were the two times a year you're going to get something. Like you was looking for some kind of toy. And, you know, those were your two times of the year. And you look forward to it. You anticipate it. You see, kids today don't, you know, like when we were kids growing up, you went in the store and you seen something you wanted. Don't even start in about, I want that, because you ain't getting it. You wait till your birthday. And that was educational in and of itself, because you'd be like, oh, throwing a fit. I want that so bad. Your parents would tell you, well, your birthday coming up or Christmas coming up. You know, it's still a couple months away, which when you're a little kid, that seemed like forever. Your birthday, Christmas coming up. But by the time, what happened? By the time your birthday or Christmas rolled around, you'd already forgotten about that. Your parents would be like, well, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for your birthday? And you're like, well, you was carrying on about wanting that one toy a couple months back. What? You know, you done forgot about it. You don't even care anything about it. The lesson in life there somewhere, how fleeting the things you think you got to have in the moment are. We should carry that lesson into adulthood. When you get tempted by something, when you feel like you just got to have it. Remember that in a few months, you may forget all about it, just like when you was a kid. You can't, you know, or if you get it, you may be disappointed. You know, you wanted it. I remember some of those toys got when I was a kid that turned into disappointments. I remember one year for my birthday. I don't even remember the thing was called. But if, like I say, if you're old, you probably remember this toy if you're my age. But it was this thing, and I seen an ad for it on the TV because, of course, and for whatever, in my little kid mind, I thought this was going to be the coolest thing in the world. It was this whole little board thing, And it had a steering wheel because we cared about driving back then. Now nobody cares about driving. Young people today don't, I just, a chore. A little kid, all I think about driving. And this thing had a dashboard and a steering wheel. And they showed it like you got your own little car here. And you drive your car all around this little fake city on this board thing. Man, I thought that was the coolest damn thing. My birthday rolled around and I got that thing. I was excited. And I set this thing up. And the little board thing was about the size of my laptop. I mean, it was big at all. You got your little steering wheel. And what this thing wound up consisting of is there was a little electric motor under the cardboard. And there was a magnet on that and a magnet on your little car. And you just moved the little car. The little car didn't even steer right. It didn't even have no wheels that turned. You just scooting this little. I wanted this thing so bad. And when I got it and put it together and seen how it worked, it just ruined the magic. You know? It's like young people, young man today ain't got no girlfriend. He just imagined he got a girlfriend and it's going to be just like this fairy tale. He finally got a girlfriend. Then if he ever manages to get a girlfriend and finds out that, you know, she stinks up the bathroom just like everybody else, what a disappointment. Once you see how it works, once you see the reality of it, what a disappointment. I would like that with this. I get it, and I'm thinking, I'm probably like 7 years old, a little bitty kid. And I remember thinking to myself something along the lines of, this is some cheesy shit right here. I done been scammed. And them commercials, it made it look like you was driving this car around, man. It was cool as hell. The city is like a foot and a half by a foot and a half, maybe 2 foot by 2 foot, if that. But probably not, probably about a foot and a half or something. And all you're doing is scooting this magnet around. Scoot it over here. It's not even, the car doesn't even turn. It just, you're making the right turn on Main Street on your little cardboard thing. And you turn right and the car's just sliding sideways. Just sliding sideways. Man, that is a disappointment. It's funny how things stick with you. I'm going to wind up getting way off topic, but it's funny how things stick with you. You remember things, and it was so long ago now. You know, I remember another year, I'm looking forward to Christmas, and there was one thing I wanted, and that is walkie-talkies. You know, nobody had, way, way, way before cell phones. And these weren't just any walkie-talkies. These were special. Space 1999 walkie-talkies. That was a TV show back in the day. It's called Space 1999. And it, boy, it was because we had like all this moon colonies and shit going on. Because by 1999, when you in the 70s, we're sure by 1999, we're going to have like you go live on the moon if you wanted to. Well, that turned out to be, boy, you want to talk about things that turned out to be a big disappointment. We didn't get no moon colony. We got Palantir instead. We didn't get no moon base. Oh, but I wanted those things, man. The Space 1999 walkie-talkies. I got them bad boys for Christmas. And I ran into a couple problems. It's because little kids don't see things, you know. I got these walkie-talkies. And I got them out and I put the batteries because everything ran on batteries. You know, when you put these batteries back then, people just don't understand. Because batteries back then were a sketchy thing. You see, you put the batteries in something to make it work. One, they ain't gonna work very long. And two, you turn them off and you put them over there in your toy box and forget about them for a while. You got to watch that. Because you come back and as you turn it on, it don't work. And you're like, oh, I probably need to put another battery. And you know where I'm going if you're my age. You slide open that battery cover and you got a surprise. Because that thing, that battery done puked its guts out. There's like this disgusting, gooish battery acid thing that done ate up. Done ate up your toy. I got my Space 1999 walkie-talkies. I ran into a problem right away. On Christmas morning, I done run into a problem. It's a walkie-talkie. You got to have somebody to talk to on the other side. I ain't got no one to talk to. I'd be setting my walkie-talkies up in the back room and like being two rooms away and talking on and sticking my head out, see if I can hear it, make sure it worked. Did you? Ain't nobody wanted to go, hey, y'all want to listen to my walkie-talkie? No, we hear your ass all the time. We don't. Oh, me. Let's get back on point. The gift giving great for kids. You know, and you got kids, you know, and that's a fun part of it. When you got kids or, you know, eventually grandkids or whatever, that's cool. You know, making it a magical, you know, fun thing. Nothing wrong with that. I'm one of these people. We got to talk about Jesus. I mean, yes, that is the focus of the holiday. We never forget that. We should never forget that. But letting the kids enjoy it and getting up and seeing what's under the tree, that's great. This whole thing where grown people running around, running stuff up on their credit cards to buy other grown people something for Christmas. You know, think about it. Your wife be like, you better get me something for Christmas. And what are you thinking? You sitting there thinking, bitch, you buy every Amazon here every day. What the hell am I going to get? Every day is Christmas for you. Every day. That's what you're thinking, isn't it? Y'all, the married guys that are listening to the show, y'all sitting there laughing because you like, yeah, y'all driving somewhere for Christmas to go visit and your wife next to you, you making her listen to GPD and the Parish of the Patriots. She's like, we got to listen to this guy. And that's bad enough. And now you over there looking at her because she was already just yesterday. She's like, you better be getting me something good for Christmas. And you looking back over at her in the car. I see y'all now. I see y'all driving in the car and you're looking back over and you're like, bitch, every day is Christmas for you. Amazon Santa Claus, and he come every day for you. Bing, bing, that backup sound, that backup alarm, an Amazon truck backing in your driveway, that's Santa's sleigh landing on your damn roof. You're like, oh, Santa Claus come for my wife again today. What'd you bring? You know? And like 90% of the time, the Amazon driver is black. And he thinks you're weird because when he gets out, you're like, Saint Nick, what did you bring me? What did you bring my wife today? He's like, Saint Nick, what you talking about? You brought my wife something. When the Amazon driver shows up, you look at me like, what did she order today? Like, man, I don't even know what to tell you, man. Pay your bill and I'll be back. And people go out and they spend all this money running up their credit cards to buy other grown ass people. I really don't get it. And people think I don't like the holiday. GPD, you're Scrooge. You and your humbug attitude. Get in the spirit of the season. And I tell people over and over. And it makes you feel odd out, you know, because like if your family gets together and like extended family and they give them presents and you're like, don't give me nothing because I didn't get none of y'all nothing. I do. I find it silly. Grown people running around buying each other presents. That's just me. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm missing the point. Hey, I could be wrong. I don't see nothing. I think it's great. If you have kids, you need to make it a big deal because those years are very fleeting. Your kids will be grown before you know it. Enjoy those times. I enjoy those times. But this whole thing today where people run up a bunch of debt they can't afford to buy other grown people stuff that they really don't need. Honestly, they don't need that. If you feel compelled to buy another grown person something for Christmas, and then you know what they could probably use? Make their car payment for them this month. Pay their light bill for them this month. That's what they could use. They don't need, you know, another something foreign made crap product from Walmart that they could stick on the back shelf and forget all about. Pay their electric bill this month. That's Merry Christmas. I done paid your light bill. You know, Merry Christmas. I done paid your car payment for you this month. I got you a, you know, $100 gift card for the grocery store. You can go buy some groceries this month. That's what people would use. But it's different. If you got kids, grandkids, make it special because those years are fleeting. That's fun. And then when they're grown and gone, they, you know, those times are over. And so you should enjoy that. But this is what irks me, though, is this promotion. You know, they start talking about retail sales. Again, our high religious holiday, only our high religious holiday, is all about what are the retail sales numbers going to be. They won't be doing no retail sale numbers for Hanukkah, even though it probably it probably means a lot more to them than it does us. They the ones who want to hear the retail sale numbers. Only our high holiday. I mean, it'll be going on about how much money is Walmart going to make during Ramadan. No, only ours. Only ours has to be made into this thing, this orgy of spending. Y'all about to hear me go on, and you probably think he don't even like Christmas, but I do. I do. It's just the things I see. You know, like I say, it's only our. This is one of our high religious holidays. This and Easter for the Christian believer. Those are our two big religious holidays of the year. One, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, Son of God, and Easter, we celebrate His resurrection, His conquering of the dead. Essentially, it's another birth, if you think about it. We celebrate at Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ into this world. At Easter, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ into the kingdom of God. You know, and that's reflective for us. This is why it's a big deal for us, because our lives mirror that of Jesus Christ. We get born into this world, which is where we're at. You are here. Like you walk out through, you're walking through, this is the map of your life. And there's an X right there. Like if you're at the zoo and it's a big zoo and you're walking around and you're like, where are we at? And they'll have those things up, you know, and you go look at the map and there's a big X. You are here. If you want to go see the lions, you got to go down this way past the monkey cage, make a left. You'll go see the lions. We look at the book. We look at the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus was born into this world of a virgin and, you know, went through life, did everything he needed to do. We are here. That we mimic that. We mirror that in our very lives. We are born into this world, and then we're going through life. Big X, you are here. Then Jesus left this world and then was born, once again, resurrection, to the kingdom of God. And that's what we're going to do. We're following that path. You see, Jesus led the way. He's referred to in the Bible. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. He's the first one. He leads the way. We follow him. We're going to do the same exact thing as believers. We're following in Jesus' footsteps. We just follow the path. We are born into this world. We're going to go through this life. Ultimately, we're going to be resurrected into the kingdom of God. We're following the same path. Ain't no other path. It's the same path. We're going to do the same exact thing. It's led by example. You know, it's kind of like the difference between kings of old. You know, we had kings of old. And we talked about on last week's show, you know, monarchy. And I brought up the kings of old who established their kingdoms because they were fierce warriors. They always led their men into battle. You know, King David. Of the actual Israelites in the Old Testament, you know, he led his men into battle up into old age. He finally got so old and he was ready. The time for war came around and King David putting his armor on, you know, only he old now and he's struggling to get his armor on. His guys are like, you can't go. You know, they're all like, nobody wants to tell him. You know, nobody wants to tell him he can't go. And they're all sitting there, you know, they were all talking amongst themselves. And they're like, man, who's going to tell him? You know, he's putting on his armor. He's planning to go out and fight. He's going to get killed out there. I mean, you know, yeah, in his youth, nobody could beat this guy. This guy, he was a fighter. But yo, now, he's going to be able to do this. And then finally somebody had to come to him and say, man, look, King, you can't go. So what do you mean I can't go? It's time for war. I got to lead the men. You stay here. And it was like heartbreaking for him. you know, he's supposed to lead the men in battle. If he gets killed in battle, so be it. And they're like, we can't lose you. You were too important as the king at the, you are king now. You're too important. There's other things that you do besides lead the men into battle.
But I got to lead the men into battle.
There's other things you already do that no one else can do. We got to have you. We'll do the war thing. We'll go and fight. We'll send messengers so you know what's up. He wanted to go. And you compare that to these weasels we have now. You look at them, every damn one of them. You know? We call them neocons here in the U.S., you know. And they're these guys, you know, the good example is Lindsey Graham. He's a neocon. They ain't a war. John Bolton, there's another neocon. If there's an opportunity to go drop bombs on somebody and kill them, they want to do it. It don't matter who it is. It don't matter what the excuse is. These people are the definition of bloodthirsty. And the reason why is because they don't ever have to go, like, do it. It's a game. They sit back in their office and hold a press conference. You see, where King David, he wanted to go fight. That what he did. He led by example, which is what I'm trying to get around to eventually. I'm getting off kind of on a tangent, as you all know I always do. These neocons, they sit back in comfort, you know. I would say, you know, messing with their secretary, but in the case of some of them, that's probably something else. But anyway, the point being, these people stay back here. They don't do anything. That's why they're illegitimate. They don't do nothing. They sit back in comfort and tell other people to go get their legs blown off or whatever the hell. No danger on them. It's all fun and games when you don't have any skin in the game. Now, see, Jesus is like the kings of old. He led the way. He was born into this world, went through his life, went through all kinds of confrontations and people saying stuff about him and talking smack. Ultimately, physically attacked, tortured, and killed. And he dies, gets buried, and then is resurrected, ascends to the kingdom of God. He led the way. It's just like he's our king. He has led the way for us, and we follow the path. We were born into this world. We got that out of the way. Check. We can check that off the list. We're under grace in Jesus Christ. We're walking his path now because we're under grace. We've accepted him as our Lord and Savior. That means we've accepted the path he laid out before us. So we walk in the path. And yes, we are going to die and be buried. And then follow him into the kingdom of heaven. This is what we celebrate. Christmas, Easter, that's our two big holidays. That's our two high holy days. Doesn't have nothing to do with Santa Claus coming to town. Again, I've already said, make it fun for your kids. There's nothing wrong with them. I'm not one of these people like, you know, that's idolatry. So letting your kids have a good time with all of that. Enjoy that. There's nothing. I don't see anything wrong with that. But for us grown people, this is one of our high holidays. This is where we celebrate and remember. And again, only our holiday has to be subverted. Only our holiday has to be inclusive for everybody. It has to, everybody's got to feel welcome. Ain't nobody trying to make me welcome in Ramadan, and I'm not offended by that because that's their holiday. I'm not going to crap all over Ramadan. That's their Islamic holiday. Let them enjoy it. I ain't participating in it. It would be insulting if I tried. You notice that. If I showed up at the big menorah lighting and tried to, you know, dance along with them or whatever the hell they do, they would be like, what are you doing here? And they would want me to leave. And they would be justified in that because I'm not them. If I tried to LARP and participate in Ramadan, it would be like, get the hell out of here, infidel. You're not one of us. This is not your religion. This is not your belief. Get out. And they would be justified in that because I'm not them. And yet our high religious holiday. Oh, you got to be inclusive. Don't say Merry Christmas. Don't mention Jesus. Heaven forbid. Somebody might not feel included. They might be offended. You can't say that. What about everybody else? Only ours. Not whining about it. I'm pointing out that there's a reason that it's that way. That's yet another thing that testifies on behalf of the truth of Jesus Christ. That they feel the need to you got to sideburn it. You got to put that on the back burner. You got to change the definition. You got to attack it. You got to turn it in. You got to morph it. You got to subvert it. You got to turn it into something else. None of these other religions, they got to do that too. Why is that? What sets this one apart? Because something sets it apart, because nobody's demanding Hanukkah or any of these other Purim be inclusive of everybody else. Only ours. Time of remembrance. We remember. This gives us, these things are important as a religious holiday. It's important because it's, we live our lives in a constant distraction. We're burdened down by the flesh. We're walking in this world, we're walking around in this body. What does your day consist of? Reflect on what your regular day consists of, average day for you, the listener. More than likely, it's something along the lines of you get up in the morning. You have enough time to maybe eat some breakfast or drink your coffee or whatever. Then you got to get off to work. And then you're trying to solve all these problems at work or do whatever it is you got to do at your job and put up with people's nonsense and this constant thing. And then you finally get off of work and then you go home and you take a shower, you eat something, maybe watch something on TV, try to unwind, go to bed, repeat, wash, rinse, repeat. These are important. Christmas, high holidays such as this, particularly our religious holidays, this is important because it should serve as a moment to stop and remember who you are. You see, you lose who you are because of your day-to-day grind. You're having to try to make a dollar for the next day to pay them bills, to try to get through the next week, to try to solve the problems at your job, to try to figure out your house's finance, whatever. All of these many things, you know, trying to figure out whether it's worth fixing your old hoopty car or if it's time to upgrade to something else. And can you afford that? All of these temporary problems that inundate us in this world, in this earth, in this temporal realm. When you have a time like Christmas, you stop and you set aside and you say, it's time to re-reflect. What am I doing here? Look at the map. I'm lost. Like I was talking about earlier, you're at the big zoo. You got to go. If you're lost, you got to go find that big map. It'll tell you where you are. This offers us a time to stop and reflect and go, where am I? What am I doing? Who am I? Where, you know, I got to find out where I am. You can go look at the big map. You are here to remind us. When you read in the Old Testament and God set aside Sabbath days, this was the point of those Sabbath days. Though it wasn't contradictory when Jesus said, you know, God made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath days, he would set aside days because these guys are working every day. You know, they were all in business for themselves, so as to speak, raising sheep or raising crops or whatever. And when you're working like that, you're working every day. You got to figure out something's got to be done with livestock. You got to move the sheep. You got to, you know, move the sheep to that greener pasture over here. You're constantly doing these things. He set aside these days so that people would stop and take a time out and remember what they're doing here, who they serve. Remember God. So they didn't just forget God, because they forget God, they get off on all these other, shall we say, self-destructive things. It's like that for us. These high holidays like Christmas and Easter, we should stop. This is a time and opportunity to stop and remember who we are, what we're doing, what our purpose in this life is, and what's important. Now, another thing that sets Christmas apart is family. You know, Christmas and Thanksgiving, those are the two times a year when, you know, people get together, family. I think I brought this up back around Thanksgiving, but I'll bring it up again. Because I saw a deal again, once again the other day, as I got to turn on the local news in the mornings and leave it on mute, because I only have it on because of I want to see the weather, you know, the weather forecast, so I have an idea what the weather's going to do, because in Texas, the weather changes a lot, like really fast. It's supposed to be like 80 degrees on Christmas here. But, you know, but I look up once in a while, see if the weather's on, and then it's not on. It's some other thing. And they had another thing on, and these people are going on about, you know, surviving the holidays. And it always cracks me up. You know, they have these stories on, you know, surviving, and they always have some woman on there, you know, some woman psychologist giving people advice on how to survive the holidays. Like, if you're worried, you know, about quote unquote survival, is seeing your family, you know, you don't have enough problems, or maybe you got too many problems and they're all in your head. You know, some Ukrainian in a ditch somewhere hoping a drone don't drop on his ass and blow him up. He's worried about survival. You going and having to see your mom and daddy and hear something that might trigger you if they bring up Trump. That ain't surviving. You know? You in one of these African countries and you hoping somebody don't, you know, show up and shoot up your whole village? Yeah, them people worrying about surviving. You worrying about somebody might saying an opinion that you don't like and feeling awkward. That ain't survival. You need some real problems in your life besides the ones that you just keep cooking and percolating in your head. Which brings me, you know, that's a funny characteristic of man. We got to have problems. We do. We are hardwired in this lifetime to struggle against things, you know, to suffer, to struggle. We're hardwired. And I see people that I don't want it. Well, nobody does, but we can't help it. You know, you hear self-inflicted wounds, self-inflicted problems, self-inflicted. People make a bad decision. You know what? Most of the time when people do something, you know, make a mistake, a self-inflicted error, it's because they ain't got enough real problems and they start making up ones, you know? We're so hardwired to struggle and we don't even realize it. You know, people be like, I don't know why God puts all of these problems in my life. Well, he ain't put them there. They're just either there. And if you don't have them, you make them yourself. You see somebody and they is some guy and you looking at him and he's like, this guy's got it made. And inevitably, if you watch him long enough, he'll sabotage. He will find a way to cause a crisis. He'll blow that shit up. He will. Why? Because they don't have enough problems. If you ain't got a struggle, you'll make one up. You'll create a crisis. Why? You just can't help it. We're hardwired for it. Even if you think you could avoid struggle, you won't. You know, it's kind of like when people go into prison, they're scared to death of going into prison, and understandably so, especially here in America, because our prisons are basically some kind of, you know, dystopian thing like off of Mad Max or something. And a lot of times guys are going to prison under certain circumstances, and they're so worried about going in the general population that they'll get put into segregation, you know, isolation. They get a cell by themselves. They get out for 1 hour a day by themselves to walk around. Then they can go back in there and they all by themselves. But they safe. They ain't got to worry about getting in a fight or getting shanked or anything like that. They in there in their little cozy, tiny cell. And you know what? Nobody lasts in there more than like a week or so. And then they're just like, you know what? I don't care. I don't care if I get stabbed. I can't take this anymore. You know, that's how we are. If we don't have a struggle, we will make one. We will invent one because we're hardwired for it. You think you want to be in segregation. You think you just want to get in your little cell and cozy up and don't associate with nobody. Don't have no problems. But you will make a problem. And these people are a classic example of that. How to survive the holidays with your family. Is it that damn hard? You grown up and you're going to go spend one time a year, you know, you're going to go spend, say, 4 or 5 hours with your family, and it's that hard. You have to have some woman psychologist tell you how to survive. You ain't got enough real problems. How hard is it to survive your family? And when I see this woman psychologist popping up on the TV, I still got it on mute. Because if I unmute it, I already know what I'm going to hear. And I know what she's going to sound like. You know, they always say you can't judge a book by its cover. But you can look on there. It's like, I bet if I unmute this, I know exactly what her voice sounds like. And you unmute it, and it's like, and then what you need to do. I mute it back. I knew it. You already know what she's going to sound like. And they're rolling some of this woman's tips across the screen of how to survive.
Set boundaries. Set boundaries and enforce those boundaries.
You know,
this is what we're not going to discuss.
Yeah, I wonder why you don't get along with your family. I just can't. There's certain things I can't fathom. Look, I'm not saying everybody gets along with every member of the family. That's just the normal part of being a human being on this earth. You're not going to get along all the time with everybody, even family. But good night. I can't imagine living in a world where you can't go spend a day or whatever with your family without having to set up, we're going to have some rules here. And you ever notice the people that are like that are the ones that are the problem? See, they think that their family is the problem. And the reality is, it's them.
We have to set up boundaries. I've got rules here, and we're going to enforce these rules at the family get together. There will be no talking, you know, about politics.
And then around the table, you look over there, and she's the one over there just biting her lip. She's dying to bring something up about Trump because her daddy wearing a MAGA hat at the table, and she just can't let it go. She over there grinding her teeth because she wanted to bring it up. She's the one that needs the boundaries. She's trying to enforce rules and boundaries on everybody else. You the problem. Hey, tell you, you know. And again, it's another one of those cases where people would just invent problems. I can't imagine, you know, the holidays can be stressful. You're planning, you're trying to make sure there's enough food for everybody to eat and how many people are going to be around and how you're going to manage this and that. It can be a pain. I get that. But the whole thing of, oh my gosh, it's such a crisis. I have to spend a whole day with my family. If you in the kitchen cooking dinner or whatever for everybody, you wouldn't have to spend that much time because you're in the kitchen cooking. Why aren't you in?
Oh my gosh, I'm misogynistic. You expect me to be in the kitchen cooking? Well, who else cooking? That's what I got my 80-year-old grandmother for. She does all the cooking. She does all of that.
And yeah, she ain't got no problem with everybody. It's just you, isn't it?
Just enforce boundaries. This is how you survive the holidays.
Yes, you can't wait to get back to your shitty little apartment with your cat and sit by yourself.
Survive the holidays.
If you had to kind of, if you were part of my family, I would just be like, look, if you got to have a guy, like as soon as you showed up and you're like, okay, before the holiday gets started, I got a list of rules that we're going to, I'm just be like, my first rule, bitch, is you can go home. Look, you can show up and act civilized with everybody, or you can get the hell out. We ain't doing all that. You ain't the official roommate. This woman psychologist talking about set these boundaries and let everybody know what your boundaries are. Like, how about telling that person you're not the rule maker? You know what? If everybody comes to your house, and you know that ain't the case, because ain't no one ever goes see her. That's why she lives alone with a cat. Because nobody goes and sees her. She's going to somebody else's house. Look, if you go in somebody else's house, if anyone's laying rules down, it's the man of that house. It ain't your ass. You're in another man's house. You're going to follow his rules. You know, that's called common courtesy, regardless of who it is. You know, if you go over to an Asian person's house and you walk through the door and you see them taking their shoes off, you take your shoes off because that's what you're in their house. It's their rules. It's no big deal. You don't do that. I don't do that in my house. Well, no shit. That's because it's your house. You do what you want. You go to another man's house, you're going to, if there's any rules or custom, you can try to follow. That's called common courtesy. It used to come naturally to people, but not anymore.
Now we're going to have boundaries.
Don't even be showing up at another man's house with your rule book, bitch, because you know what? You're going to get asked to leave. You should be. They might just try to tolerate you. And that's all you're doing. If you show up in another man's house with your list of rules, by your boundaries. You know, if you don't get asked to leave, people are just tolerating you. You're not achieving some sort of big personal victory. They're just putting up with you for everyone else's sake. You're the problem. You are the problem. Show up in another man's house with a list of rules. Hey, woman psychologist, why don't you explain to these people you're going to someone else's house? You ain't laying no rules down because it ain't your damn house. If you want to be able to set the rules down, then invite everybody to come to your place this year. But you won't, will you? Because that would take effort on your part. This is what people call classic first world problem. It means you don't got enough real problems. You don't. You're just inventing something. My gosh, I might have to go get together with my family. And somebody may say something that I disagree with. And I'm not going to have enough self-control not to make a big scene out of it. That's what all that tells me about somebody. It's amazing because people tell you all about themselves. All you just got to do is let them talk. And have rules, boundaries to survive the holidays with my family. That tells me that you can't go somewhere, hear somebody state an opinion that you disagree with, and just shut the hell up. You know, just let it go. No, you can't. It's a personal challenge. How dare you state an opinion I disagree with? And we all know, every one of you know, that if you get together with extended family, whatever, and you get a big group of people, who's the ones that's more likely to bring that up? That's right. It's going to be them. The very people that are talking about, we got to have boundaries so that you don't say something that might offend me. Go stay at home. Stay in your apartment with your cat. Nobody really wants you there. Nobody really wants you there. But I'll be lonely. Then shut the hell up and go and get in the kitchen with grandma because she's 80 years old. Maybe you ought to consider going in there and helping her.
No, I can't do that.
I tell you, some people, man. Some people. I got so far out there now I have to stop here and try to figure out where I want to reel this back in. It just amazed me that people find something so simple, something so natural to be difficult. They have to make a thing out of it. Ain't what it's about. One of our high religious holidays, and sadly it's one of the times of the year when suicide rates spike, you know? This is one of the times of the year. They talking about retailers and how much money they can make. Everything about what our holiday is about. Again, only ours. And another aspect of this time of the year, of this particular holiday, the Christmas time, is suicide rates spike. People at an increasing rate off themselves at this time of the year. And there are people that get really depressed around Christmas, you know, and I'm not going to sit there and make jokes about that. I'll make jokes about the person who's got to have boundaries to be around my family. People that truly feel isolated and truly feel alone at this time of the year, you know, and they looking around and they got, you know, whatever they got going on in their lives. You know, they see all these, first off, they see all these pictures of people, you know, these advertisements on TV and people are shown smiling and it, that's just TV. That ain't real. They feel their people will feel isolated and alone and they get depressed. And like I say, they'll off themselves this time of the year. Look, nobody is responsible for your happiness but you. For starters, a lot of that crap that you see that portrays, anytime you turn on the TV and they portray these smiling, happy people, they're selling you something. That ain't real life. Everybody's got problems. Your problems may be bigger than most people's, but you know what? They're not bigger than everybody's. I can assure you there are other people out there that got bigger problems than you. You're going to have to find, you got to find a way to say, you know what? You know, what can I do to snap out of this? Worst thing you can do, I'm going to tell you, give you some pointers, because there might be somebody listening that's in that. This is that time of the year and you get really depressed. Worst thing you could do is just sit around by yourself, you know, and do nothing in your house. The worst thing you can do, get out and do something. I don't care what it is. Go out and just start nailing random boards together and see what you put together with. Go just cut a tree down. You know, remember when I was a kid growing up and we, you know, like when you're a teenager, because teenagers always got some kind of angst going on. You know, they're depressed about something or they got something going on. And, you know, the older people in your life, you know, if you're around my age, when you're young, the older people in our lives, their answer was always the same thing. You need more hard work. We got rocks out there in the field. You can go pick them up. Be like, what? We always just figured that that was just the older people trying to get free labor out of us. And that wasn't altogether not true. But there's also another truth in that. Actually, a lot of your funk and depression problems can be fixed by physical labor. You don't believe me, but it can. What they were saying is if you get outside and start exercising your body, and I do believe this, me personally, I do believe there is a difference from going to the gym and going outside and actually just doing physical labor, digging a ditch, picking up rocks, you know, plant some shrubs in your backyard if you've got one. You know, because you see the results of it. I'm not running down going to the gym. That's fine. But there's a difference from going to the gym and then you go home to if you can go out and plant a tree somewhere or you know, work on some landscaping or something. Because like 2 days later, you can go out and see the results of that. You know, you went and nailed together a birdhouse out there on your back deck. You nailed together a birdhouse and you hang it up. Don't even matter if any birds move in there. You can look and say, I built that. I did that. Accomplished that. Worst thing you can do is sit around in your little apartment. Find somebody. I live in the city. Look, quit making excuses and find something. I can guarantee you, if you go down to the homeless shelter where they feeding people and ask, do y'all need another set of hands? I'll mop floors. I don't know what to do. I'll mop floors. I'll wash the dishes while y'all feeding the homeless, whatever you want to do. And I guarantee you, they'll put you to work. You know, they'll put you to work. And you know what? Pretty soon you forget about all this stuff swirling around in your head. And you're around other people and they're talking and they're going to be people laughing. And you're going to always look across there and you're going to see people that got a lot bigger problems than you got. You know, you're going to see people coming in there and eating probably for the first time in 3 days and they strung out on drugs and their life is a wreck and is probably going to end in a puddle of vomit, maybe within the week. Maybe your problems aren't so bad. Maybe your problems are not at least insurmountable. You get out and you did something, you know, and when you're done, the people there at the shelter, they're probably going to say, hey, we appreciate you coming by. If you ever want to come by and help again, we'd take the help. They're not going to turn you down. They're not going to say, we don't need any more help. Just don't wallow in it. Get out there. And that voice is going to tell you in your head, he's going to say, nah, man, ain't no point in that. I'm just going to lay here and wallow in it. That doesn't lead anywhere good. And I'm going to tell you. Maybe you're depressed because you had a big falling out with your family years ago and you hadn't seen them in years. Reach out to them. Send them a letter. Send them a Christmas card. Make a phone call. Quit waiting for them to make the first move. Because you know what? They may be sitting around wishing you'd do the same thing. And neither one of you, both y'all wishing to somehow make up. But neither one of them wants to be the one because that's like admitting that you're wrong. This is where pride becomes a sin. You know, who gives a shit? Nobody, you probably don't even remember what the original argument was about. And if you do, it was probably something stupid that didn't even matter now. You just don't want to be the one. It's like admitting I'm wrong. Fine. Who cares? This is an opportunity. You know, and you know what? If you reach out your hand, you reach out, you make a call, and they're rude to you and say, look, I told you I ain't never talking to you again.
Go kill yourself.
You can walk away and say, hey, I tried. You don't have any regrets that way. You can say, well, I tried my best. I tried to at least fix this. I made the effort. I put myself out there. And you can take some pride in that. And you know what? You're going to be less depressed. Now, we've discussed a whole lot of things. And see, they're all related to this time of the year. This is a time for reflection. It's our high religious holiday. It's time for reflection. It's time to stop and gather things up and remember the Lord. And get some, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. Look, they've subverted the holiday. They've tried to subvert it. They've tried to turn it into something else. But that only works if you go along with it. I bet it's, you know, a lot of people, and understandably so, you know, Christian believers will complain about, you know, the consumerism. It's all about shopping. It's all, but it's only about that to someone else. What's it about to you? You know, that's the question. In other words, they can't make it that for you. You have to agree to it. That's always how things, you know, see that subversion and stuff. It comes from the enemy. It comes from the devil. It really does. But like all things I've said before, there's a difference between things that are just the evil thing men do and things that are actually fundamentally of the devil. Because that defining characteristic is the devil always gives you a choice. That way he can accuse you. You have to have a choice in it. He tried to, you know, make it a difficult choice as he can. This subversion is no different. It's of the devil because you have a choice. They push the consumerism and try to turn it about holly jolly rocking around the Christmas tree and go run up your Visa card. All they want to, they can't make you do that. It doesn't have to be that for you. You may look around at all these other people, but you ain't got no say over what other people do. You have control over yourself. And you can say no. You can reflect on it. It can be what you want it to be, what it's supposed to be. You make the choice. You see, you make the choice. What is Christmas going to be for you? A time to reflect, a time to celebrate, a time to remember, look at the map. Here you are. Or you can go just say, well, piss on, I'll go max out my credit card too, buying a bunch of crap that nobody really cares about. It's up to you. All of the, you have the power. They want you to feel powerless. You've got the power when it comes to your own life. You ain't got the power over what other people do. If that's what you covet, you're always going to be frustrated. You don't have power. But everybody just going to town. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You have the choice. What's Christmas going to be like for you? That's up to you. You got that power. They don't. They don't have the say. So they're just trying to influence you. But you have the strength. Hopefully you have the strength to resist that influence. You can tell the devil, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to remember Jesus Christ. This is what this holiday is for. You can put Merry Xmas. You can put Happy Holidays. You can put whatever other crap out there you want to do. But I'm going to remember Jesus Christ because this is one of my high holy days as a Christian believer. I hope all of you do enjoy your Christmas. I hope you can find some time to remember where we are and who we celebrate and what we're doing. I hope if you have kids, make it a special time for them. They'll remember it. You'll remember it, even if it's a lot of work right now. If you're getting together with extended family, enjoy those times. There's a likelihood, there's always the possibility that next year, some of them aren't going to be with you. This can be your last time. Enjoy the time of the year. Don't listen to all these naysayers and trying to turn it into something else, into some kind of made up BS. It's what you make of it. It's your time. This little bit of time you have, this is your time to make of it what you will. I hope all of you have a safe, happy Christmas. May God bless you, and I hope I'll see you here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.